Hey, this is David Kay, and you're listening to the Geekcast Radio Network.
You're tuned in to Steve Megatron on Altered Geek.
Hi, this is David Kay, and you're listening to Altered Geek. Geek, geek, geek.
Hello and welcome to Altered Geek. I'm your host, Steve Megatron, and joining me on this adventure into geekdom is...
Hello!
Yeah, you planned that.
Of course I did. I am, of course, Steve, you and Mike.
It's no one.
Terrorize!
That's what I'm going to do.
Yeah.
Calling me no one.
Yep.
Yep.
So, yes, this is the final episode of the year.
Yep. I wonder if anybody missed us, because it's been a few months since we've done one of these things.
Yeah,
I looked
pretty
at the
much.
Script and I was like, October, really? That's when that was?
October.
That's right. October. Yes.
Yeah. So anyways, it has been a while, and of course we aren't doing one of the GCRN year in review.
No, not this. Too much stuff has happened this year between your stuff.
There's been a lot of, well, not only that, but there's been a lot of famous people who have died this year.
Yes, and we kind of already did a dedication for two of the most famous that we actually had interactions with and all that. So, but yeah, there's been a lot this year. Just sucks.
Yep.
But we've all been busy. Like, you've been busy. I moved across the country. You know, that doesn't happen. I try to make sure that doesn't happen very often. That's probably never going to happen again.
Never say never.
Yes.
So, agreed. He agrees.
Yeah, well, you know, he's a dumbass. But...
the name Dumas.
Dumbass. Optimus Solo moved into the Eastern time zone. So there's that. So they moved across the country, even though it's only a 20-hour drive from Illinois to Florida. But yeah, that happened. And it just, like, this year, last year was kind of a, oh shit, what am I going to do now? And then this year is like all transition for me. So, you know, it is what it is. Hopefully we will do a GCRN year in review for 2023, and hopefully there aren't as many celebrity deaths as there have been in the previous years. We miss you all.
Mm-hmm.
So I've got five things down here, and one of them we're not spending a lot of time on because it's just discussing like certain ideas and reacting to trailers. So that's number five, and we'll start with that last. We'll finish up with that to transition to the overall topic of the episode. But Steve, what would you do if somebody called you a kidult?
I would wonder why. Such a stupid name. I honestly hate acronyms and short versions of names. For like the word selfie, absolutely loathe the name. You're taking a self photo. Just say the full word. Just like the new word that kids are saying now in teens and young adults, sus.
Yeah,
it's short for suspect or like suspicious.
Suspicious,
and,
yeah.
And my kid said that, and I says, don't sound unintelligent. I said, say the full word.
Yeah.
I said, because it drives me nuts. It's like, anyways, my soapbox. Yeah, I can see why they're kind of saying it. Because, you know, the article says adults are buying toys for themselves, and it's the biggest source of growth for the industry. And they're saying kidults, who tend to spend more on toys, have a great fondness for cartoons, superheroes, and collectibles that remind them of their childhoods. No crap.
Duh.
I mean, that's why we started this whole network in the first place.
Mm-hmm.
It's
now I have
it's
to say
nostalgia.
That, Yeah, it's the nostalgia. But I have to say, this is coming from NBC or CNBC News.
They're so out of touch.
They have been out of touch since Hall & Oates released that song in 1984. Like, mainstream media does not know about geek culture, pop culture, whatever culture, you know, like they probably know more about cancel culture than anything else. But because considering all of them left Twitter and then they came back because the advertisers left Twitter.
Yippee skippy.
Yeah, it is what it is.
But yeah, but
this Kidult thing, it's like, who the hell came up with this? Who said this? That's what I want to know. I want to know the person who said.
It's like those. It's like what's that old movie? Mean Girls, where the girl's trying to make the word fetch into a word.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what I feel like they're trying to do here. They're like, oh, Kidults. It's like, no, how about geeks?
Yep.
Nerds?
Yep.
Fans, Uber fans, you know, I mean, it's not like our generation has stopped enjoying any of this stuff.
Yeah.
I think there's been a change in people who work at these places and are finally recognizing the fact that, hey, these people spend money on things that they enjoy.
Mm-hmm.
Instead of, you know, the fleeting crap. And don't get me wrong, I love a vacation as much as the next person or any of those type things. But there's something to be said of, you know, the nostalgia. Like, I have truck models of, you know, or Hot Wheel cars of a particular model of truck. Or I have, you know, the Starship Enterprise or, you know, just various things. I have a boatload of Transformers. Mm-hmm. And it's all, you know, and I'll pick up a Hot Wheel car here or there if I see one that I really like. But it's the whole, you know, I enjoy them. I like them. I like looking at them. I like messing with them. And then I like repainting the figures. So when Hasbro doesn't do their job, no offense, Hasbro, but yeah. But anyways, yeah, I mean, we all have this nostalgia, this, you know, the fondness for cartoons, superheroes and collectibles that they mention here because a lot of us were picked on for what we enjoyed when we were kids.
Mm-hmm.
It was a comfort.
Yeah, it was not a acceptable thing in the 80s and 90s to say that you were a geek, and being a geek and a nerd back then were insults. We've reclaimed those titles since then. Hello. Do you see the front of the website? The Geekcast Radio Network. Let's go. Like, come on. And here's the thing about this. The reason why adults are buying all these toys and why we are the responsibility of whatever the math or the financial stuff is, I don't know, whatever it is. The reason why that is because half the kids want eye devices or whatever. Like, they want to be stuck to a screen, or they want this, or they want, like, I don't, and you're a parent, you can tell me, like, how many times, let's say within a month, do your kids ask you for actual action figures?
All the time. But it's because
yeah,
I don't let them on the screens.
That's true.
And my wife doesn't either. We don't let them watch TV. We don't let them watch, you know, it's very limited. And then they have tablets, but again, it's monitored.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, and when I was a kid, I had 2 hours of TV a day that I could have, or no, maybe it was an hour, but unless it was weekend, then I was allowed to watch Saturday morning cartoons all day.
Mm-hmm.
But the thing is, you know, I gravitated towards certain shows and I bought the toys associated with them. And I played with action figures until I was about 14. And which I know that's not the norm either, but I played with my brothers, you know, with the Transformer characters and the Legos and all that stuff. And my kids have Legos. They have Transformers. They have various other types of toys, you know, animals and whatnot. And so I do see that, like, the modern era kid is put in front of a screen, whether it be a tablet, whether it be a phone, whether it be a smart TV or a tablet, you know, just any of those things. Mm-hmm. And they just consume, you know, Twitch or YouTube, or, you know, it's not like they're actually watching a show, which a show for us as a kid was a toy commercial for the toys that we were looking forward to coming to the store. And the stuff that's out now, it's kind of hard to read. Like a lot of the, like even the Star Trek movies, you know, that have come out, or the figures, like Playmates is just now starting to put Star Trek toys back in like Walmart. Cause I've seen, you know, they've got, you know, Khan and Spock and Kirk, and then they've got some from Discovery and some from TNG, and different generations of Star Trek figures just kind of toying with it. And they have like a new Enterprise, you know, toy that was similar to one they released 30 years ago. Yeah. And cause I had it.
Right.
And so, I mean, for one, like a lot of the stuff that's out now, like I have a heavy nostalgia for the shows. What kills me is the inaccuracies of the figures to the shows. Like I could look beyond it with things like Playmates or, you know, like Star Wars or, you know, things like that, because those weren't identical, but they were as close as I was ever going to get. And then things like Transformers, like Beast Wars, for instance, I had no problem dumping the old stuff and getting the new stuff,
right?
That came with like Kingdom and Legacy and things like that, because they just better engineering now. And so they've done what they couldn't do 25, 30 years ago. Mm-hmm. And so I don't have the nostalgia for like the reissue figures. Like, yes, I still like them, like the Optimus Primal or the Beast Megatron. Yes, I probably would have jumped ship to those, except for the fact I have a masterpiece of one and I have the Kingdom of the other. And they're far superior to the old stuff. And so, but yeah, I mean, the fact that our generation is the one that's fueling this whole industry right now, mm-hmm. and keeping it afloat is very interesting, considering the prices continue to climb, but it's also kind of a collector's market now. It's not like a kid playing with toy market, because most of them just don't care or hold it to the same esteem that we did.
Yeah. And kids, they're different than we were back then. And look, I'm not going to sit here and fake that I know what kids are into today. I don't. I don't have kids. I have no plans on having kids. I'm too damn old at this point. But it's just one of those things where I don't – okay, so we've talked about Star Trek. We've talked about Transformers. We're essentially talking about Hasbro specifically. So Hasbro, in their marketing – and their marketing team is amazing.
Yep.
They always, when I'm looking through their Instagram stories, it says, you know, before the next slide, let's just take Inferno, for example. Parents, swipe up now to get this for your kid. You're like, okay, fine. But, like, there really are, I guess we're on the cusp of getting the Earthspark stuff, so maybe that's what the kid toys will be versus what the collector toys are. You know,
like the authentics that they sell at, like, you know, King mm-hmm. Super / Kroger, the little, you know, cheaply made figures. Like my kids look at them and they're kind of interested, but they're like, eh.
Yeah.
And, but I think it's partially because I've rubbed off on them in that I'm a stickler for just like, if it looks like a crappy toy, like not even like show accurate, like just if it just looks like a crappy, cheaply made toy, I have no problem telling them. Like it, to me, those authentics look like dollar store toys.
Yeah.
Like there's nothing to them. And to be honest, the new core class stuff that Hasbro puts out reminds me of dollar store figures as well, because if you look at, I mean, not only has plastic gotten more expensive and they've made the figures smaller and charged double the price or triple or quadruple in some cases, I've compared them because I have an old basic class Iguanas from years ago, and I put it side by side with Kingdom Rat Trap. And while the engineering and details on the new figures are far superior in some cases, the size and the like the ball joints, like I've noticed the ball joints are super cheap that allow the engineering of the arms and the legs to move, or the knees or the elbows or whatever, because my oldest gave me his Optimus Prime to fix because it was just like a limp noodle, like falling over on every position, can't hold the gun, can't, you know. And I repainted the figure, made it look, you know, like the show, and then give it back to him, and it tightened up the joints. But my old Iguanas figure that I beat the crap out of as a kid, like he was one of my cannon fodder. And it's the original figure I own. And
yeah,
he still holds a pose. He can still hold the gun. He can still, you know, rest on the beast hands that fold over and in beast mode. It kind of bothers me, like how crappy they make some of the stuff now in some of those regards. And that's the same with any of the size classes. Even the Transmetal 2 Megatron that's out now, those claws that they incorporated into the chest, they don't fully peg in there, which drives me nuts, but that's totally different issue there. But yeah, I mean, so I have no problem telling my kids when I think it's a crappily made toy and to save their money, or, you know, hey, how about this? Get the poor man's masterpiece version. You know, like the studio series stuff. Like, I'm like, get those. Those are better.
Yeah. And the thing is, like, look, we all love the masterpiece line.
I do too. Yeah. But it's just expensive.
Well, that's huge. Like, yes. But the thing is masterpiece was made at the time to be the ultimate. Hasbro has now gotten to a point where the ultimate for most of these are either Studio Series 86 Hot Rod or Kingdom Commander Class Rodimus, just to give that character specific, you know, examples. Like, yeah, like, I don't know. Like, I'm not saying Masterpiece should go away or anything else like that, and I understand why the cost is what it is. But there are no, like, I don't even see it as poor man's masterpiece anymore, because you yourself have said that the Kingdom Megatron figure is just as good, if not finer, better than what the masterpiece was.
And don't get me wrong, like I don't like the realism that they've added, mm-hmm. like the realistic animal look
yeah.
to their beast modes. Mm-hmm. And I'm not a fan of, like, I hate the dinosaur head, to be honest, on the Kingdom Megatron.
Yeah.
And how, but the rest of the figure looks, I mean, it's darker colors and it's a little bit of deviations there, but overall, it's close enough to the masterpiece. I'm happy enough with it. Now, if the opportunity still came my way to get the knockoff masterpiece Beast Megatron, because one, he would have the voice of David Kay, and he'd have LED lighting and just better. It's a better engineered than the Takara one, mm-hmm. which is like $400. If I could get my hands on that, I would, because it's like, I think it's like $110 or something. But so if I had the option, I would get it, but I would be fine enough with the Kingdom version. Same thing with the Transmetal 2 Megatron. Like, it's not perfect. And that's the other thing. It's our generation too that's got the 3D printers and makes, like, when Hasbro or one of these toy companies fumbles or they don't have something that they want, they just make it.
Yeah, pretty much.
'Cause like the G2 exclusive, like the, I forget what they call it, Generation Select G2 Megatron.
Oh, yeah.
He looked great, but he was missing the shoulder cannon, and he was missing the chest, you know, fold out part that the original character had. And it bothered me that it didn't have those aspects. Like, I can overlook the shoulder thing, but the chest thing just bothered me more so than the other. And somebody made one. Somebody made the whole conversion kit for it, you know? And same thing with, you know, the Transmetal 2 Megatron that I have. The head, they made the Robots in Disguise Megatron face on it instead. Somebody made a 3D printed, you know, engineered the Transmetal 2 proper face and sells it. Or like Inferno, he's missing the proper gun. And so they, you know, they made the new gun, you know, from his show. And so, I mean, it's just, it's mind boggling. Like, yeah, there's all these things that the toy company drops the ball on, but then the fans pick up the slack.
Yeah. Yeah. And the thing is, like, the whole point of bringing up, like, for me, this story is it's a mute point, because there are kids who like toys and there are adults who like toys. And I have been trying to find information about this. What makes me so angry about any of this thing in this article is the term. It has nothing to do with the phenomenon of us adults being responsible for 1 point, whatever it is, percent or whatever the hell of the toy industry succeeding. It's the kid-alt term that I am just like, where the flag did that come from? Because, I don't know, apparently it was used way back in the 50s to, you know, and of course we've always had like Peter Pan syndrome thrown around. What really gets me is Wikipedia says that there are other terms such as rejuvenile and adultescent.
Or kidulting. I hate that too. I don't know. I feel like there's a better way. Like there's a line in this article where they talk about how adulthood has evolved and said that what it used to mean to be an adult was to be a very upstanding, serious member of society, and to do that had to demonstrate it, you know, in every way. And now people feel free to express their fandom as part of their adulthood. Just call it, you're a fan.
Yeah.
Like, exactly. or a collector, or, you know, it's funny because a lot of these toy properties that are out, you know, especially when you're dealing with a film, like for instance, the Transformers live action films, I would never let my kids watch any of them, because one, there's so many like innuendos in there, and there's so much crap that they just don't care about. And honestly, I don't either. It's like when we were talking with Kevin about Earthspark, and we're like, just give us the robots. Stop putting the humans in it. Just give us some genuinely good robots. Like Bumblebee, I felt like was great when they were on Cybertron, and then it kind of fumbled after it hit Earth. And not that I didn't enjoy Bumblebee more than some of the other ones. Yeah. It was definitely far more enjoyable than any of the Michael Bay directed stuff.
Yeah.
And I mean, the first Michael Bay film, I'll give it kudos because it introduced us to live action, and it kind of was the, like how Beast Wars was the reboot, you know, that the kick in the pants that Transformers needed. The movie was the kick in the pants that the franchise needed at that point.
Yep.
Because we'd had so many other, you know, rehash type stuff. And so, yeah, I mean, you know, these films are definitely, as it says in the article, not designed for young kids, instead catering to the older group of toy loving consumers. And that's, I feel like that's true. Like even Rise of the Beast, I showed my kids the trailer and they're like, that doesn't look anything like them. Cause I've shown them Beast Wars and they're like, they don't even sound, you know, they're like, why? And I says, I don't know. I says, we're saying the same thing.
Yep.
I said, so time will tell, man.
Yep. All right. We're not going to spend a lot of time on this, but this is kind of, I guess, ridiculous, maybe? I don't know. Warner Brothers is directing DC to sue Chris Wozniak over an old, unauthorized Batman story.
Why?
So this was published December 16th of 2022. And this is coming from Bounding Into Comics. So it's coming from their website. A month ago, we reported that a comic creator, Chris Wozniak, was taking legal action against DC Comics and Warner Brothers for similarities between The Batman and his outline from 1990 for a sort of final bow story for The Dark Knight. Like the film, Wozniak's treatment would battle, you know, he would battle the Riddler in a game of wits and brings the hero to the edge. Yada, 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 yada. Says, I wrote a Batman Riddler story that was used to make the Batman for the $800 million film, The Batman. Warner Brothers attorneys are not disputing that they used my story to make the film. This is extraordinary because usually these situations, the studio would claim they never saw it and never used it. He adds that this case is unique due to the evidence that he has presented, but in my situation, they know I can indisputably prove my story is on screen. So instead of providing fair credit and compensation, Warner Brothers are directing DC Comics to sue me for writing an unauthorized Batman story. Yes, you read that right.
Because they stole it.
Huh?
Because Warner Brothers stole it.
Well, essentially, yeah. That's... Yeah. God, why does there have to be so much? Oh boy, that's crazy. Just crazy. I mean, you know, really, if he went to them and whatever, give him credit and pay the man. Like, if you used his shit, give him credit and pay him. If you're able to pay him. You know. All right, moving on, we've got...
Well, you know that they also, with James Gunn taking over DC, he also canned the proposed Batman Beyond movie with Michael Keaton.
Yes, yes, I know. And
which sucks.
Yes, it does. And they've also...
I would have loved to have seen that.
Yeah, that would have been awesome. They've also gotten rid of Henry Cavill as Superman. And
which is stupid. I don't know. I've had no confidence in DC or Warner Brothers since Michael Keaton was Batman. Because they can't seem to like string anything together. Like the first two Batman movies and then the original, you know, Reeves. Christopher Reeves Superman movies are the only times that Warner Brothers had all their ducks in a row. Ever since then, outside of like maybe Wonder Woman, everything else has been a train wreck. Because they can't seem to stick to a plan of any kind.
Yeah, it's too many voices in the voice box, I guess.
Yeah, I don't know. I'm just I don't know. I'm kind of.
Yes.
Yep. Warner Brothers sucks. Anyways, moving on.
It is Christmas time, everybody. We are recording this as Steve is on vacation in Michigan for Christmas with his family. And we have yet to talk about the Santa Clauses. So we both have watched this Disney Plus series, correct?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
I've watched the whole thing.
So have I. I like episode 1, 5, and 6.
Hey, me too. the rest of it, I was kind of like, eh. I didn't care for the other people playing Santa. I don't like a lot of the new elves.
They're okay.
They're kind of, eh. I don't like a lot of their personalities.
Yeah.
And I just don't care for them. But yeah, that it is what it is. It's Disney. But the fact that they got, you know, most of the original cast, you know, back in some regard, I really enjoyed it. I liked Tim Allen being back as
Santa.
Scott Calvin. And, yeah, and I loved the Yule verse.
Yes,
with awesome. Bernard, and he's like, "Yeah, you aged," and he says, "Yep, I gave up my immortality to
I met a human.
I met a human.
Yep,
she's 84, and he says, "I'm 1,600 years old. It doesn't really matter."
Yeah, it doesn't really matter.
Yeah, and but I thought it was funny that, you know, they made it out that Scott was the first human Santa.
That was the good part of the story. That was awesome.
And that they had specifically chosen him, and that's why, you know, the Santa that fell off the roof disappeared and didn't, you know, and Scott fell off the roof.
Yep.
And he didn't disappear.
Yep, exactly. So it was all set up.
Yeah, so it was just funny because they're like, oh, you don't know? They're like, this was all predestined, you know, and they were like, you were supposed to see him that night. And just because of how he, you know, when he was a kid, the heart that he had.
Mm-hmm.
And so I thought that was kind of cool. And then how they wrapped it all back up and, you know, he got re-sanified. And I'm not really sure what they're going to do for a season two.
So that's my problem.
Like,
so-
I feel like they kind of, they could leave it right where it's at. Like he's like, yep. You know, we're, you know, he's going to just live out the rest of his life.
Yep. So you guys are probably going to, people listening to this show may or may not go over to Studio 2009 and listen to that podcast as well. Steve and I just recorded our mini discussion on Spirited, which is an Apple TV Plus film with Ryan Reynolds and Will Ferrell. I almost said Will Friedle. That was going to be a little weird. Can you imagine Batman and Deadpool? Anyway, never mind. So anyway, I just said over there about how I miss the one and done stuff. Like, a show doesn't have to have 7 seasons, 8 seasons. I mean, depending on the show. This, I viewed as a 6-episode mini-series kind of thing. And it has a good beginning in the middle, because I'm not the biggest fan of the Sinbad-like character that, you know, the Simon character, whatever. He finally learns, the beginning and the ending are what I liked about this. And the ending was good enough to the point where I don't think they need a second season, but apparently, according to TV Line, they are renewed at Disney Plus for season 2, and I don't know what else we could do. I don't know what are you going to do? Bring Spencer Breslin back? Do we really want him back? Not really. You say how annoying the elves were in this. The one elf.
No, I found a lot of them annoying.
Really?
Yes. Other than the head elf and the one that followed Scott around, the rest of them were just painstaking. Like, I just found them all annoying.
The most annoying one to me was the old man sounding one. The one that was doing this, his tinfoil hat.
Yeah. You know, his tinfoil hat. And he's like, that's the only reason I haven't disappeared yet.
Well, now that it's gone, you can disappear, dude.
I didn't care for it.
No, me either.
But, I mean, it's the same thing with... I'll give it kudos in the sense that at least they didn't wipe out Tim Allen's character. Because there's been numerous Disney shows where they've completely just rode the coattails of the original show.
Yep.
Evolved it and then killed off the original leading man. Oh, and used maybe a couple of people, like the Mighty Ducks. Emilio Estevez, season 1, they dumped him for season 2.
And because he said something about COVID or
whatever. Well, he said he wouldn't take the shot.
Yeah.
But which I don't know. That
is what it is.
That is what it is. Yeah. That's the water under the bridge. But anyways, the other ones that drove me nuts were Turner and Hooch. I liked the show for what it was, and I was kind of sad it didn't get a season 2. Because you also had, Winslow, Family Matters, Carl. Yeah, he... can't remember his real name, but anyways,
Reginald Bell Johnson.
Yeah. Yep. So he was in it, which was cool. But they killed Tom Hanks' character, so there was no way that he could be back. And I was kind of bummed about it.
I never watched that show.
I was so bummed that they did that. They had it so that like he had died and he'd left some info on a case he was working on and they solved it by the end of the season. But I really didn't like the fact that they did that. And then they tried to reboot Doogie Howser. And they made a new one that, you know, was trying to ride the coattails off it. I don't even know if it got a season two. I thought it stunk too. And then, because I just was out of curiosity watching it. And then this new National Treasure.
Yeah, that's coming up. And without Nicolas Cage, it's not National Treasure.
Well, its third episode just came out today. Because I watched the first two. How they connect it to the National Treasure franchise is the FBI agent that was constantly chasing Benjamin Franklin Gates through the first two films. You know, it takes place in modern day, so he's old and, you know, senile, and he has somebody taking care of him in his house, and he's got all these security things and all these, you know, and he's a Freemason and he's got all these clues. And so anyways, this girl discovers, you know, and she's an illegal alien and has a knack for solving puzzles and skills like that, and has some friends, and one of them's like a streamer and something else, and the dude they make him super like wimpy and weaselly, like he's all about shoes and stuff. But so anyways, they come across some information, like an old clue kind of thing, and the fact that she kind of learns about her father or whatever and had this necklace, and you know, he was a treasure hunter and basically trying to do like akin to, you know, protecting the treasures, like Nicolas Cage's character.
Yeah.
And the FBI agent, you know, gives her some information, gives her, you know, a book or something. And then this tycoon, kind of like the last, you know, the first two films, there's somebody with a lot of money and a lot of backing and a lot of shady background. And then it starts sniffing around, taking care of it and attacking them and going after them. And so it's very much similar to those, but I feel like it's very hollow because they also killed the FBI agent off, like in the first, like he showed up for that scene with the new lead character.
Yeah.
And then off screen, he was killed off. And then they have his grandson, which inherits his house and wants nothing to do with it. And I don't know. I'm watching it out of curiosity's sake, but I kind of wish that they would just do a third one with Nicolas Cage.
Yeah.
Because I know they're going to have Riley show up in one of the episodes during this season.
Yeah.
But even then, it feels kind of like, unless this is like a way to shoe in Nicolas Cage at some point, but I mean, the guy that plays Riley is really not doing much, and neither is Nicolas Cage at this point, so.
Yeah, Justin Bartha, I don't even remember. National Treasure 2 was probably the last thing I saw him in.
Yeah, same thing. And so, like, I'm going to watch it, but I'm kind of curious what's going to happen in the show, but I don't have high hopes, and I feel like it's going to get canceled, too.
I don't understand why they are trying all this stuff to just eventually cancel it anyway.
Well, I think they're trying to ride the coattails of nostalgia. The only problem is they're forgetting the important part. It's like trying to do the Transformers movies at this point without Peter Cullen. They've kind of, you know, like those films, you know, he's going to, at some point, the man's not going to live forever. I mean, and at some point they're going to have to move on, but those films, like, people would riot at this point if they, you know, because people know that that's Optimus Prime, you know, and the fact that, you know, they keep reintroducing these old movies as TV series and then neutering the main part of it, which was the characters,
yep,
which is what made the whole story go.
Yep.
And I feel like a lot of the writing in a lot of the modern shows are very lazy. Like I watched She-Hulk, absolutely hated it just because it was just lazy writing. I liked Hawkeye. I liked Captain and the Winter Soldier and the mm-hmm. Falcon. Yeah. Loki, I was kind of on the fence,
I don't like Loki as a character, so
I don't like him as a character, but show wasn't terrible because they kind of made him redeeming. They made him almost like Q in Star Trek, so it was a little better, but I don't know. I feel like because they're trying to pump out so much content on all these different streaming platforms, they're not really taking adequate writers or show executive producers on that understand the process of writing a quality program.
Yeah.
Whereas like back in the 90s and the early 2000s, like they didn't have streaming. It just was like you had to work your way up and learn the trade. Nowadays they're just plucking people from anywhere. Mm. Oh, you know, I know this person, so I'm going to have them write, and they could have crap for experience. It's why they have instead of episodes like back in the day where you maybe had one writer for the episode, maybe two. Nowadays they've got a whole slew of names that are attached to episodes, which is why they're so haphazardly thrown together and why they don't make any sense, or they don't mesh well when the show is put together.
Yeah, we're going to talk about streaming here in a second, folks, but Justin Bartha, outside of National Treasures, quote-unquote franchise, he has the Hangover trilogy, Hangover 1, 2, and 3, The Rebound from 2009. Since he was in an episode of Drunk History, he was in 13 episodes of Cooper Barrett's Guide to Surviving Life, 17 episodes of The Good Fight. But, like, usually I will look up people's names and I will see them, whether they're young actors or old actors, whatever actors they are. I will see, like, oh, you've been in 3 episodes of this Law & Order version and that Law & Order. Like, I'll see all this other stuff that I know them from. But, like, other than the National Treasure stuff, I have not seen him in any of the things that he is credited for.
Yeah.
I don't know. So streaming. They just keep getting more expensive.
What's funny is I remember recording an episode of Geekcast Radio back in the day. Mm-hmm. Why can't we just get a la carte? Well, we got a la carte. And it costs as much as cable.
Yeah, pretty much.
Although you get a lot more shows and you can download them. But, I feel like it's created this era of streaming platform hopping.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
Like, all right, we'll binge everything we want on this one for a year, and we dump it and we get a different one. Yep. And I feel like that's kind of how it keeps going, because they all, these streamers or platforms, I should say, are losing money to not only get content on their platforms by creating it or licensing it, but it's also damaging to the one subscribing to it, because it just makes it difficult. You kind of have to pick and choose. I mean, there's so many different platforms now. Like, I have no ambition of getting Apple TV Plus or ESPN Plus, and I find it funny they all just have Plus tacked onto the end at this point.
Yeah.
It's like, just create a random name and, you know, Netflix, Hulu, they sound decent. Like Amazon Prime Video, it's 3 words, you know, and then everything is a Plus now at this point. I don't know. I'm entertained by the fact that they keep raising the rates and now they have ad supported platforms to try and offset costs.
Yeah. They're trying to get you into that monthly price at the low price, but it's with ads. And I am sorry. I do not have a cable box anymore. I haven't had a cable box since 2017, 2018. I do all my stuff streaming online, and if I am paying for streaming content, I want ad-free content. I will pay the money. Like, I just, as of this recording, my annual Disney Plus subscription came up, and I paid the whatever it was, because it was funny. It was 2 days before they were going into the price hikes. So I got it at the $76 or $86 price that I got it at last year. So I just missed the price hike on the annual plan this year. And the thing is, for me, folks, now I want to find streaming services that offer annual plans. I don't mind spending $100 a year on streaming content. That's fine. I don't mind that at all. That's great. $100 a year, I can save up that money and pay you at the end of the year. Kind of, you know what I mean? Like, I asked, I've gotten no response from Netflix, but I asked Netflix if they had an annual plan. They never responded to me on Twitter. I asked, and I even called. I can't believe I did this. I called Hulu to ask them if they had, because they weren't really responding. They're like, oh, you can check out this. No, I want an answer. So with the $12.99 now. With the $12.99 ad-free plan, there is no annual billing. But I think all services should have annual billing, especially if you're paying for ad-free content. You know, I'm currently in the midst of a YouTube premium subscription for the first time ever since I've been on YouTube since 2007 or so, watching content. And I love it. It's great. I paid just over $100 for a full year. I got to actually check and see when that renews. But it's one of those things where I don't mind paying to not have ads. And I understand that things are going to go up and whatever else. And those people that want to pay the monthly, they can sit there and pay the monthly, and that's fine. But this whole streaming war, it's tiresome.
Well, it's funny because as they raise the prices, they're only encouraging more people to pirate.
True.
And I'm not encouraging that.
Yep.
I'm just saying, like, the more that they raise the rates, the more likely people are going to just rip the program that they want rather than deal with it. And it's not hard. Like, if you know the software, there's tons of them out there that you can rip. Like, I had like a demo of one. I was trying to figure something out for a disc I owned, and it did all of the stuff at the same time. And just out of curiosity, because it said it could do Netflix as well, I recorded 30 seconds off. It ripped it verbatim. HD. Doesn't matter. And I was quite surprised that it worked. I mean, it gives you 30 seconds because it was free, and you have to buy this full software, and I wasn't planning on using it more than for ripping the disc I already owned. And I was, like I said, I was just surprised. And it's easier than ever if you're really trying to get away to get content. It's not hard to get it. So I feel like they need to all, like, I get they got to make money. There's only so much. I mean, especially with inflation and like cost of living going up, like my heating bill it tripled because they're like, oh, natural gas costs more now. And we're passing on the cost to our constituents, our customers. And it's like, yeah, okay. And you're not making a penny, right? But I mean, like, I can't afford extra stuff. Like, it's, the heat bill going up, my mortgage going up, the taxes going up, like everything goes up. So it's like, what's the first thing I'm going to cut? Streaming.
Yeah. Probably.
Because I can live without it. I've got enough stuff that I've socked away over the years, like of shows that I've watched or movies or there's free platforms like Tubi.
Yep. Tubi's awesome.
There's commercials.
Yeah.
But I don't pay for it.
Sometimes if you watch enough of it at one time, there are no commercials.
Yeah, but I mean, because you're watching it for free, I will put up with the commercials. So, like, I'm not going to pay to have commercials. I feel like that's the old way of thinking. Like, somebody's like, oh, we're going to go back to the cable method of, you know, you pay and you watch commercials. Like, it's, yeah. So,
yeah,
I've said my piece.
Yeah, it's just one of those things where it's just crazy. And I'm not in the Apple ecosystem. Nope. I have no interest in subscribing to Apple TV Plus. And they don't have any shows or anything that, like, Spirited's great. It's a great film, all that. But, like, you know, I don't know. For me, like, I love having Paramount Plus and Discovery Plus and this Plus and that Plus and whatever other Plus, and that's great, and that's all well, good, and fine, and it's the content that I want to watch, and that's awesome. But, like, where's the ceiling for these costs? That's the question I want people to answer for me.
Truthfully, I don't see these prices going down. I see them incrementally going up over the next, like, 5 years. Doubling at least.
Oh, absolutely. No, but that's my point. Where is this for the consumer, for us? I'm asking you and I'm asking the audience listening to the sound of my voice, if people are listening. Hopefully you are. We enjoy it that you listen. Thank you. Where is the ceiling for us? As consumers, at what point are we going to say
it's enough?
$20.99 a month is too much, or $200 a year. And I'm only talking one service. I'm not talking about multiple. You pick one. Take Netflix, take Hulu, take Disney Plus, take whatever you want. You pick that one service and you either pay the high monthly plan or the low ad supported plan, and you multiply that over 12 months, or you pay the annual plan. But what is that going to end up being? Like, what, like, right now, I think, I don't have my phone with me, but if I remember off the top of my head, it's on the charger. I believe as of right now, in December of 2022, I can go on to Paramount Plus and get a yearly annual plan for, I think it's $150 for the ad-free plan for the annual, which isn't bad.
No.
It's fine for me. Like, again,
it's not terrible, but
it's not terrible. But, and the reason why it's not terrible is because, okay, you take, let's say, that plan plus the Disney Plus plan I just paid for at $86, even though it's going to be more expensive next year. So that's, let's just say close to, well, that's what, $240, $230, whatever it is. Normal cable packages in the last 20 years have been somewhere between $200 and $300 for all, like, if somebody wanted all the bells and whistles. But you're paying that $200 to $300. And you're still getting advertisements because that's how it used to work. Now, with having the option to get ad free, that to me is worth it. Sort of.
Yeah.
But there is a limit, obviously. There's always going to be a limit to, like you said, it encourages, you know, service hopping, or Booth Ninja, Mike Powers, does this all the time. He's done this for years where he'll start one and then stop the other, or stop one and start the other one, or whatever. And yeah, I mean, pretty soon we're all just going to have to go back to probably physical media at some point, because it's going to get too damn, that ceiling is going to, that roof is going to be blown off so much. That explosion is going to be like, you just don't even want to know.
You timed that one good.
I know, right? That's what mute's for, folks.
But yeah, I mean, I've really enjoyed just the streaming aspect, as far as I don't have to get a disc out, but when it comes to cost, I will get the disc out.
Absolutely. Or when it comes to it's not on streaming, I will have to get the disc out. Like,
if it's not on streaming, I will make it stream.
Okay, well, yes, but
you know. No, I'm saying
right. I understand.
No, because I've all of my media, my physical media that I've had over the years, mm-hmm. I've dumped it all.
Yeah, you've ripped like it all
I've ripped it all into a hard drive, and I have it on my network. And
yep.
And then I watch it through my home network now.
Absolutely. And I know this is a silly, silly thing, and it's funny because I wasn't able to do this year for studio. I wanted to do an anniversary episode. But it's funny, like I just mentioned about the whole if it's not streaming, you go by the... This year is the 20th anniversary of the film release of Shane West and Mandy Moore in A Walk to Remember. That movie is 20 years old this year. It's not on any streaming service currently, to my knowledge. And I had to go buy a DVD off of Amazon to watch the damn thing. I bought, because I don't think it's on any streaming, I bought the complete series of Dino Thunder for Power Rangers, because with Jason's passing, I'm like, I need to see Dr. Tommy Oliver. I need to see old ass Tommy, and I need to see him kicking ass when he's back in black. You know, we're going to end up, okay, maybe you're not going to end up having to go back to physical media, and maybe people who are like you.
Oh, I might for some.
Well, yeah.
If I can't find something, I will buy it. And
yeah.
Yeah.
Absolutely. Anything else? I mean, we're at the year end, dude. What's what kind of geeking are you wanting to alter next year?
Nah, I don't know. I'm just kind of waiting to see some of the new movies that are coming out. You know, the Spider-Man, the Super Mario.
Yeah, that Rise trailer, of the Beast. Man. Yeah, that Mario trailer, though. Wow.
I was kind of surprised by it, actually. But it's like it's taking a journey through the game.
Mm-hmm. And I liked it. I thought it was fun. I thought it was cool. I, you know, do not care about the whole supposed, you know, whatever with, oh my God, it's Chris Pratt as the voice of Mario.
I don't care.
Do I wish the guy, Charles Martinet or whatever his name is, was the voice? Yes, I do. But I understand, and it's fine. It's not the end of the world.
Yeah, I'll live. I don't care enough.
Yeah.
I'm not hating it.
Yeah, no, I'm really digging it. I'm loving where they're going with it. It's very fun. Very, very fun.
Yeah, so, I mean, that's pretty much all I've got.
Yeah, pretty much. I mean, I guess we could give a passing mention to the Barbie trailer.
Yeah.
I saw that, and I'm like, really?
Yeah, I don't know if I care.
Oh, I don't care.
I think it's going to probably bomb, to be honest.
Yeah, I don't know.
I'm not saying that to be mean. I think it's going to bomb.
Yeah, probably is. So I guess Merry Christmas and have a Happy New Year, everybody. Anything else you'd like to say, Megatron?
No.
Yes.
No.
What a pleasant surprise.
No, it's not.
Where is my rubber ducky?
Don't you want to know?
Yes.
Well, that worked out.
Yes.
No.
I think the next one he says is side guns.
Side guns?
Yeah. that didn't work out so well. All right. Close us out.
So, you can, of course, get a hold of us on geekcastradio.com, where you can find all of our podcasts, including this one, and all things Transformers, Studio 2009, The Pull Bag, and more. You can leave feedback for the show, feedback at geekcastradio.com. You can find myself on Twitter at SCP21 or at Altered Geek, and yourself, sir.
I am at TFU and Mike.
So, until next time, get altered, get geeky with the Altered Geeks.
Excellent.
I am Batman.
Yes.
I fight for justice.
No.
Gotham City needs me.
Yes.